to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on this Wednesday morning, August 13 of 2019. It's August 14, actually. I'm a day behind. Wednesday, August 14, as we hit the midweek mark and a build-up to another big weekend of sports. It is the penultimate round in the AFL season, so all of the retirements or expected retirements are starting to come through at this stage. And it was the kids who stole the show yesterday. First of all, Jared Ruffett.
It wasn't like it was, you've got to play me, otherwise I'll crack the sads. As I said, I understood where the club's at, and I'm not bigger than the club. The club's perfect, so...
yeah, well,
3 minutes. Didn't even last that long.
Maybe he should go around for another year. Meanwhile, Aaron Sandilands asked his daughter for her advice.
I had the conversation with my eldest daughter. I said, oh, look, I'm getting a bit old and, you know, I'm thinking about stopping playing football. And she said, Dad, you're too young and you've only just got back playing again. So, and then in the next breath, she said, make sure you man up. So it was,
Not bad from Big Sandy there. We'll hear more from Ruff and Sandy in just a second. Meanwhile, in the cricket world, bit of news coming out ahead of the second Ashes test at Lord's. James Pattinson has been left out of the team.
We're really lacking the fact that we've got two bowlers in particular on the sidelines that are world class, and we want to make sure that James is absolutely cherry ripe every time he plays. He's available for selection, but we've decided to rest him for this game and make sure that his long-term future is in really good shape.
So that final bowling spot in between Stark and Hazelwood. We'll hear from Brad Haddin later on this morning, and maybe he'll give us a hint as to which way the Aussies are leaning.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Don't forget the Breakfast Club returns this morning after 6 o'clock. Half Scotty and Sherelle are back to guide you through your Wednesday morning. We'll head straight to England and get some news from Adam Collins on that squad and the English makeup as well, as they've made or threatened to make a couple of changes. One man who definitely won't be there is Moeen Ali, who's taking a bit of a break from cricket at the moment. Well, I've got the early mail for you before 7 o'clock this morning. Then Taylor Adams from the Collingwood Football Club in the inner sanctum from 7. He will be a fascinating chat as they gear up for another September campaign. Mark Stevens from Channel 7 with all the latest footy news from 7:30. Jared McVeigh will join us from the Swans. Brad Haddin from Australia. We'll check in with the assistant coach and get the latest on the Aussie squad and why they've made that change. And Nat Medhurst from the Collingwood Netball Club, she will join us before the end of the show. So a packed schedule coming up for you this morning. Let's start, though, with Aaron Sandilands. Oh, actually, we might start with Jared Ruffett speaking yesterday on his glittering career. It is going to come to an end this weekend when he gets his farewell match against the Suns.
It's worked out that it's very nice that I can be able to play this Sunday, but it wasn't like it was, you've got to play me, otherwise I'll crack the sads.
This is my second home. I came here when I was 18. This opened when I was 18, so now I'm 32. You know, beautiful weather. you drive out on the freeway every day knowing that you're coming here to work with, you know, 150 close friends.
What's the one thing you won't miss?
This. Driving out the freeway to Waverley every day, beautiful weather.
Chance that we were able to get a bit of revenge back on Sydney because, you know, we lost that one in 2012 and you don't get, you know, you might not ever get a chance to play that team again. So to be able to beat them in 2014 was probably one of my favourite ones.
Yeah, well, you guys have been reporting a lot about what I'm going to do, so it's finally good that you asked me, isn't it? But, yeah, I think I'd like to stay in footy. It's just a matter of sitting down now after these next 2 weeks and working out probably where's best for me.
Plenty of rumours swirling around that he might find himself at the Saints in an off-field role next year. Jared Ruffett, what a career it has been. It will come to a close against the Suns on Sunday. Alistair Clarkson was right beside him yesterday paying tribute to his big key forward.
Cancer one is obvious, and that was life-threatening and one that touched the hearts of us all. But prior to that, I can remember him being involved in a train wreck marking collision against Carlton at Etihad Stadium. His courage to manage those sort of ailments that he had over the journey His dignity in terms of the way that he handled himself in adversity. The fact that they've all become great mates and they've all gone on to become, you know, four-time premiership players and Bud, playing for 15 years.
Bud's only got two.
Oh, yeah, Bud's got the... Bud's, yeah, bad luck, Bud. He decided to take off the lad, but he should have stayed here, the boy.
Alistair Clarkson speaking yesterday alongside Jared Ruffhead. Let's head to one of the other boys who's calling it quits after this season. Aaron Sandilands yesterday announcing that this year will be his last. It's been a fantastic career for a big man, making the trip across the country so many times. He spoke yesterday about going on again this season, his last.
I think the older you get, the longer it takes to recover and, you know, to play at your best, you've got to be able to train both main sessions in the week, and I can't do that anymore. So obviously it was getting frustrated doing basic skill drills and pulling the calf again. So there was a lot of doubt there that I'd ever get back and play again. But when you've got blokes like Ken Withers and Jeff Boyle who invest so much in the footy club and me personally, the conversations I had with them was, why not have one more go? And I'm so glad that those two guys talked me into to try and go one more time and to get out there and run around again. The group we've got now is driven, and I've got no doubt that they'll get back to that point. It's pretty special when you get a bunch of guys that all get together and, you know, have a really good run like that. It's probably the most enjoyable part of it, because there's no better feeling in football than, you know, that 5 minutes after you walk off the ground, you've had the win, you're exhausted, but you look at the 22 blokes that have been out there with you and know that you've gave it all and it's gone your way. So, yeah, it's special, and this group will experience that in the near future.
Aaron Sandilands speaking yesterday about a couple of highlights from his career there. Let's head to the future of a couple of players who've been on the agenda. First of all, Sean Higgins, the rumours about him possibly getting out of North Melbourne were circling a couple of nights ago. He answered those yesterday.
In terms of me rejecting a two-year offer, factually incorrect. I actually haven't received anything from the football club, so a little bit baffling where that came from. Yeah, I'm contracted for next year, if people have forgotten that. So, I haven't received anything, so there's nothing for me to reject, and there's also nothing for me to accept at the moment, so... That's it.
Sean Higgins speaking yesterday. Now to Eddie Betts on his future at the Crows.
No, that's up to, you know, the management. And you know, so as I said, I'm contracted here for next year.
So at this stage, we can expect to see you at West Lakes in 2020.
Yeah, bloody oath.
We will wait and see. Wasn't all that definitive at the start of that statement, Eddie Betts. One to watch in the off-season. Meanwhile, Leon Cameron yesterday had to respond to Stephen Cornelio and those rumours that keep on circling about him heading south, maybe to the Hawks or the Blues.
I don't see any of that, what people were reporting on. I've said that all along, and I haven't changed my stance. We were meeting with our entire group after our review, and Stephen Cornelio was front and square and was probably our most vocal. Those sort of signs and signals that I see every day, every week, haven't changed from the start of the year to where we sit at the moment.
Patrick Cripps spoke yesterday. He'd be pretty happy to be playing alongside Stephen Cornelio.
Yeah, I've heard a fair bit of that stuff. Oh, look, it's one of those things, like, anyone would be rapt over Stevie Cornelio come to your door, and he's a sensational player. So if he did come, I'd be over the moon. But, yeah, we'll see how that all pans out.
And let's finish footy for the time being with Neil Baum, talking about the future of someone here, their immediate future, Trent Cotchin. He's not going anywhere, but will he be playing this week?
There's an element of roll the dice with it. It's a hemi that he's had before. If he trains well during the week and feels good about it, we'll play him. But if not, you know, we can still wait another week if we need to.
More footy news coming up later on in the Breakfast Bite, but let's head to the cricket world now, where, in case you missed it, Australia has named their squad for the second Ashes test, and it is time for a break. For James Pattinson, one test back into the lineup, he'll sit out this second test match at Lord's. So that last bowling spot down to what will be an interesting battle between Stark and Hazelwood and what the selectors and captain want. Let's have a listen to what Tim Payne had to say on the situation.
No, they are. They're certainly, I think they're both, you know, world-class bowlers. And when you leave guys like that out, particularly two of them at a time, you can see what sort of people they are, and we've been really impressed with both of them. We've had Josh Hazlewood on the A tour the whole time, sort of priming himself to play for the first test, and then when he missed out, you know, obviously they were both disappointed, but you know, that they're really both excellent team men, and you know, it's always nice from a captaincy and leadership point of view when you've got two senior players like that that are world-class left out. They cop it on the chin and run drinks and train their backsides off in lunch hours and tea breaks, and sets a really good example for the rest of our team. So we're absolutely wrapped with the way they've gone about it, and whichever of one of those two we unleash tomorrow, they're certainly ready to go.
Hazelwood v Stark for that last bowling position. Tim Payne also spoke about Jofra Archer. Been a lot spoken about him over the last couple of days.
Of our guys have seen Jofra or faced him, which is a plus. Obviously, it's been in white ball cricket, but I think we've actually faced him in Australia where conditions really suit fast bowling. So I think we've seen him at his fastest. Guys know what to expect. They know how skillful he is and how good he is. So like most bowlers that play test cricket, there's going to be times where he's going to be a real threat, and we're going to have to weather that. We're focused on what we have to do, not you know, the expectation around Jofra. Whether he can handle that or not, I don't know. I don't think it will worry him from what I know of him. Yeah, but it's going to be exciting. It adds to the test match. It adds to the atmosphere.
And let's finish cricket for the time being with the opposing captain, Joe Root, here on how to get out that man, Steve Smith.
Later on in the game, we're in the second innings. I think we tried to chase things a little bit, tried to make maybe slightly too aggressive early on to him, let him get in, which a natural thing to do when you're a bowler down, and you know you're taking two early wickets and you're trying to make the most of a lead, and then we never really managed to build any pressure throughout the rest of that innings. So I think, you know, we'll go about things slightly differently. I think we had some really good plans and we put him under pressure, especially in the first innings. First 25 runs took him a long time to get. And you know, he really made a big impact once he tried to farm the strike. Siddle came out there and stuff. So that's more when he started to really hurt us. But I think it showed that, and we're doing the right things, we just need to do them for longer.
That's it for your cricket and footy for the time being. Time to take a break on RSN 927 at 12 to 6. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with the Wallabies, who are in Melbourne ahead of their challenge at Eden Park in New Zealand on the weekend. All the NRL news from yesterday, NBL, tennis and boxing ahead of Tim Su, a famous name in the sport. Kostya's son to go at it again tonight. It's 12 to 6.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Second serve did find its way to the line. No doubt about it there. And oh my.
Yeah. Ridiculous! That's what that was. Take a bow, Nick. Can you believe this?
Kyrgios leads 4 games to 6.
Stop it.
Extraordinary pickup yesterday in the Cincinnati Masters by Nick Kyrgios, the volley of the year. 7-5, 6-4, he beat Sonego. He now progresses to the next round, where we'll be hoping to continue that good form. Plenty of action on court today, but Kyrgios back in action tomorrow against Karen Khachanov of Russia. Meanwhile, more Aussie action tomorrow as well, as Ash Barty will take the court against Maria Sharapova in the round of 32. Let's head to the rugby world now, where Tim Horan spoke yesterday. He says the game plan will have to change against the All Blacks at Eton Park.
Well, I think Michael Checker will have to have a look at the game plan. It was a brilliant game plan in Perth because it was dry conditions. And I think the Springboks have got a blueprint of how to beat the All Blacks. Yep. Now unsettle them. And we... Eden Park is slippery. You've got to kick a lot more ball at Eden Park because there's that slippery conditions, and we'll have to play differently than we did in Perth, because we held, I think we had like 75% possession at the end of the match. You can't do that at Eden Park.
To the NRL world now, and Benji Marshall had his say on Fox Sports last night on Mad Mondays. We've already seen a bad case come out with plenty of controversy up north with a possible illicit substance taken in a photograph. We've seen it all before, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was at first I was shocked. I was thinking, not a, like just what we don't need leading into the semi-finals, you know, and another scandal. And I was a little bit with James, but I think the takeaway for players from this is, you know, the whole taking photos, doing stupid things, whether it's illegal or not, just how it looks. You know, so that whole point of when you want to take a photo of yourself doing something silly and send it, it's... Yeah, we've got to be better than that.
The other big issue this week has been the online racial abuse of Latrell Mitchell. Not something you ever want to see. Boyd Cordner, his captain at the Roosters, spoke about what harm it's done to Latrell, their star.
Latrell stuff as well. Yeah. How angry does it make you?
Yeah, it's disappointing, especially to see a good mate and one of our teammates go through that. It's pretty disappointing to see that it's still, this day and age, it's still a part of, you know, society, and it's, you know, some of that comment was just, you know, it was shocking, really, and hurtful, and to see, and I got to congratulate Ken Latrell for pointing that out and standing up against it. He's a proud man and proud about his culture, and, you know, we love him here at the Roosters. He's one of our mates, so we don't want to see anyone, especially anyone in sport or in the public or anyone go through that. It's not on.
To the NBL now. The Adelaide 36 are going to change things up a little bit this year in terms of their leadership. Here's Joey Wright and how they're going to choose the next captain.
We're going to do something a little different this year. We're going to do like an interview process. So they're going to have to bring references. They'll have a board that they'll have to interview with. And that board will approve them along with myself and votes from the team. So I went over in the States and talked to a coach who did that, and I thought it was pretty cool. So that's what we're going to look to do. This early in preseason, they're showing a lot of energy. They're competing. They're challenging one another. And we got some guys that can make plays. So right now, what we'll have to see is what we're like after we're defeated two or three games, losing a couple injuries, then we'll find out who we are.
Before we head back to the cricket and footy news from yesterday, we'll touch base with Tim Zhu here, speaking about his fight tonight up in Sydney on Fox Sports.
No, not really. Just a bit thirsty, but I'm all good, you know. As I said yesterday, I'm calm, relaxed. I've never been so relaxed before a fight. I'm so confident in my preparation that I don't have to be nervous and I don't have to be cranky, you know. Everything's going so smoothly. All it is the fun part tomorrow night. You know, you can't tell much. You can tell a little bit, but you can't tell much. But he does look a bit dehydrated. He looks a bit skinny. You should put the water back on, eat, refuel. So we're going to have a big fight tomorrow night.
Time to whip through a bit more of the footy news from yesterday. We'll start up at the Giants with Leon Cameron, who yesterday said it's not over for Brett Deledio, despite him being ruled out for up to a month with a new calf injury.
Last year we did the same thing. He missed, I think, 4 weeks leading up. We brought him straight in for the Sydney Swans final. So as disappointed as he was on Saturday, he gets over it quick and then he goes, righto, I know what I've got to do, and he'll move on and away he goes again.
Let's head to the Suns now. David Swallow said he'd welcome Eddie Betts up there with a few rumours circling.
Well, someone like Eddie Betts, yeah. I mean, that kind of player would, in terms of, you know, speak about leadership and stuff, I'm sure, you know, he'd just add that sort of, you know, experience, and I'm sure that, yeah, the group would certainly learn off someone like that, definitely. I'm pretty sure that, you know, Dewey and that would be probably looking to do something like that. As I said, I don't know, you know, to who they get in, but I think just to help myself, Widow and the other leaders, and with a young group would be definitely beneficial.
To Dane Zorko now. He'll join the boys tomorrow on the show, but he was talking about yesterday what they've learnt in the big games this year as they face Geelong on the weekend.
Probably not to play the game too much in your head before you go out there. I think we're all new to it. Obviously, the week before we played Essendon and we had similar circumstances. It was a big clash, and you know, we probably played it. We got overexcited about the game, and I'm sure we're going to be excited about it Saturday, but we'll certainly prepare differently. Obviously, we're going to be playing the Cats at home, 2:10, on a Saturday afternoon, and it's exciting that it's sold out at the Gabba, but I don't think we'll play it in our heads as much. We understand now we've just got to stick to our process. Our process matches up against the really good teams in the AFL. We've proven that this year. So I guess from that extent, we're just hoping the boys go out there, stick to the processes, and the rest can take care of itself. We're just going to take it as it comes, to be honest. There's no point looking in advance of the game on Saturday. And it starts at the first quarter, starts at the first bounce, and we'll do everything right in preparation to get ourselves to that point. And, you know, we did a lot of reflection after the Essendon and Collingwood games in round 4 and 5, and we've certainly learned a lot from that, and it's going to be really important that we take what we have learned into the next 2 weeks, starting with Geelong this week.
Time now to hear from Oscar Allen. He spoke about Nick Natanui's fitness.
To be honest, it's just great to see him out there. He lifts the spirit of the whole group, and we know what a talented player, and everyone knows how much of a game changer he is for us. I think we said the other day he'll hopefully be playing finals. He's not going to play in the regular season, so we just want him to get back as quickly as he can, because we know how impactful and how much difference he can make to the team on the weekend.
And let's finish with the news from overnight. Tim Payne announcing that James Pattinson will be left out of the 11. He won't play this Lord's Test match. Here's why.
In James's case in particular, he's come back off a really long layoff, a really serious operation, and we want to make sure that he's cherry ripe for the next 3 or 4 years. So I think what we've done in the past with James is got him back. We know how good he is, so we keep using him and keep bowling him, and eventually he's broken again. So we're really lucky in the fact that we've got two bowlers in particular on the sidelines that are world class, and we want to make sure that James is absolutely cherry ripe every time he plays. He's available for selection, but we've decided to rest him for this game and make sure that his long-term future is in really good shape.
Well, that's about it on The Breakfast Bite for this Wednesday morning. Still plenty to come. Make sure you stick around on RSN 927. Don't change that dial. Plenty to come this morning with Half, Scotty and Terrell. After 6 o'clock, Michael Felgate returns from 8.30 with Racing Pulse, then Gareth Hall from 10.30 with RSN Central. A very busy morning coming your way. Make sure you stay tuned all throughout what should be a good fun Wednesday.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.